week of August. Last Sunday of the theme, A World That Works for Everyone. So, what I did on my summer vacation. So what did you do on your summer vacation? So what did God do on its summer vacation? I mean, think about it. Here's what God did. God spoke the world into being. God spoke the world into being. Earth, water, sky, people, and called all of it good. All of it. It was all called good. And we are created in the image and after the likeness of the Creator. So we speak our word, and we create our little section of the world, do we not? We create our own world. We call forth our own world into being by speaking our own word. So what am I speaking into being in my world? What am I speaking into being? Am I speaking words of affirmation or damnation? Am I speaking words of possibilities or limitations? Am I speaking words of light or am I speaking words of darkness? Because I am speaking my world into being. We are all of the same energy. And just what Spirit has done on the macrocosm, we are doing on the microcosm. We are speaking our world into being. So are we speaking light into our world, or are we speaking darkness? Ernest Holmes said that if we could see prayer, he said, we would see people speaking light. Isn't that wonderful? I love that idea. And he wrote a commentary to the Science of Mind textbook after he wrote the 1926 text, and he said this, the mystics have all sensed this light, and we all do at certain times. In varying degrees, we do enter into this mystical sense, this illumination. I feel that if an affirmative prayer could be seen, it would be seen as a path of light. All spiritually minded metaphysical practitioners, when they are praying, often experience a light about everything and feel that they are immersed in this light. What a wonderful world we live in. Isn't that glorious? And you know, when we make that decision, we're living in that wonderful world and we're studying that wonderful world and we're immersed in that wonderful world, that is what we begin to manifest around us, is opportunities to see more and more wonder about us. Now, I read that we must engage in a minimum of 15 minutes a day of study of this faith tradition that we're in. 15 minutes a day. That's all that is called for from us. 15 minutes a day of study. This is what we know. This would be the mental activity. 15 minutes a day of reading, or the Science of Mind textbook, or something about New Thought. And 5 minutes of affirmations to activate what it is we've read. So you're being called to do 20 minutes a day of active practice in this faith tradition. Are you up for it? Are you up for 20 minutes a day? That's not a lot to change your life, right? That is not a lot of activity to change your life. Are we committed to that? That's your what? What is it, MDR, right? Minimum daily requirements. Now, you're allowed to do more than that, okay? But that is the minimum daily requirements. Do we want to take 20 minutes a day to change our lives? I want to see yes. Okay, good, because I'm going back to Florida if I don't get the yes. That's what we're going to do. Because here's the thing. I am the cause of my own effect. If I'm immersed in frustration, it's because I am the cause of my own effect. I've created that energy around me, and then I get to experience it. Because the world can only express back to us. The world can only reflect back to us what we keep sending out. And if we keep sending out, I'm frustrated. If we keep sending out, I'm sick. If we keep sending out, I'm sick and tired, that's what you're going to get back. So we have to make that commitment. We have to make that commitment to do that 20 minutes of work and really change what we're immersed in. Change the energy that is surrounding us so that the universe can reflect back to us whatever that change is. A world that works for everyone. That was the theme this month, right? And that's kind of the tagline for all of CSLs around the world. A world that works for everyone. We envision a world that works for everyone. Well, if we're going to create that, if we are in the process of creating that, we have to create a world that works for ourselves first. And that's not a selfish thing. That's a self-care thing, okay? You know, we talk about New Thought being, oh, we're all about us, we're all immersed in our heads. But that is the only place where significant change in our lives happens. It has to happen in consciousness first. So it has to happen in our heads first before we can then have it happen in the world around us, before it can then reflect back to us from the world around us. It has to be the change within our own consciousness first. We cannot feed someone with an empty bowl, right? We cannot give something we lack ourselves. We cannot offer peace to anyone if we are in turmoil. So the change has to be here first. The creation of a wonderful world has to happen in here first. The creation of a world that works for everyone has to work for me first. We need to do the interior work so that then we can shower it out among everyone and get it reflected back. So you have to ask yourself that question. What am I resonating in? What is my set point? What is that feeling and emotion that I'm carrying around with me all day long, that I'm sending out, that I'm sharing with everyone, whether I know it or not? Is it frustration? Is it anger? Is it resentment? Is it love? Is it joy? Is it bliss? What are you placing your attention on? Because that's what you're resonating in. That is the energy that you're attracting to yourself, and that's the only thing that the universe can send you back. Can reflect back to you. You know, there's a story, and I looked it up. It's really funny. I thought it was a Buddha story, but it was like Buddha story. It's an old farmer's story. It's an old folk tale. I mean, it's around. I guess it's been around for a long, long time in many, many different cultures. But the story goes like this: a man was traveling along the road, and he comes to a town. And sitting outside the gates of a town is a farmer or a wise man or Buddha, whoever it is, depending on which story you read, depending on which version of the story you read. A wise man is sitting outside the gates to the town. And the traveler walks up to him and he said, "Is this your town?" And he said, "Yes." And so the traveler said, "Well, what kind of people will I find if I go inside to that town?" And so the wise man sitting outside the gate said, "Well, I don't know. What kind of people, how were the people in the town you just came from?" And the traveler said, "Oh God, they were horrible. They were horrible, they were mean, they were nasty, they were greedy, they were selfish. It just was a horrible, horrible town. I'm glad to have left it. I hated every minute of it." And the wise man sitting outside the gate said, "Well, you will find the same people inside this gate." And so the traveler passed. He just kept going. And sure enough, a couple hours later, somebody else walked up to the gates and saw the wise man sitting outside, and he said, "Is this your town?" And the wise man said, "Yes." And he said, What kind of people will I find inside the gates?" And the wise man said, "Well, tell me about the people in the town you just left." And he said, "Oh, they were wonderful people. They give you the shirt off their back. They were just terrific. They were loving. They were supportive. It was like one big happy family in our town." And the wise man said, "And you will find those people inside these gates." It is the energy that we carry with us that is reflected back to us. It's the only thing we can find. You know, if I'm not seeing the good out there, it's because I'm not seeing the good in here. I can't see the good in the world around me if I'm filled with frustration. If I'm filled with thinking everything is wrong and everything should be a different way and everything is not the way it's supposed to be, fill in the blank, for whatever reason, then that's all I'm going to see. You know, and yet we know that the sun is always shining behind the clouds. It doesn't matter what we're seeing. Spirit is always with us. We are never alone. Good is always there, whether or not we see it, whether it's pouring, raining, whether it's cloudy. Whatever the condition is, we know Spirit is behind it. Spirit is always behind it. It's never, ever abandoned us. We are never alone. Ernest Holmes said this in a talk he gave, Give Us This Day. He said, man alone in nature has the power to choose. All the laws of nature must work mechanically, but humans can consciously let God guide them. Jesus said that when he said, we turn to God, God will turn to us. God's love guides us, God's wisdom directs us, and God's power sustains us. That's amazing. He goes on to say this, if everyone knew that he or she has access to such a power and such a presence, since God is within, then we can turn to God in thought. Wouldn't everyone do that? Wouldn't everyone turn in joy to this power within and live as though all the good there is belongs to us now? Just like that song. Just like that song you sang this morning, right? All the good there is belongs to me. And absolutely right. He goes on to say this. What a wonderful world it would be if we all did this. What a wonderful world it would be if we just all did that. We all focused on the good. All the good that there is belongs to me. All the joy there is belongs to me. So back to what I did on my summer vacation. Back to what I did. So I visited my dad. It was his 93rd birthday. Yeah, really cool, right? And he lives in Florida, which is not really that cool, which is really, really hot. Anyway, so I got onto this big, gigantic aluminum tube, right? And I flew through the air about 500 miles an hour. I was sitting in a chair, in a tube, in the sky, while it flew like a bird from one part of the country to another part of the country in 4.5 hours. And people say miracles don't occur anymore. That's pretty amazing if you think about it. How is that not wonderful? You know, just the thought of that, that is incredibly amazing. How is that not a miracle? Why, because I didn't get peanuts? I should complain to my family when I get to Florida? Because I didn't get peanuts during the flight, damn it. We have forgotten to look for the miracles. We have forgotten the miracles are all around us all the time. Sure, I could complain that I had to go through TSA stuff, you know. I could complain that I was on the Crying Baby Express. Or I can marvel at the miracle that is flight. What an incredible thing. You know, when people came west, it took them years, right? And then when they sent a letter back, it took months. And here I was, from Florida to California, or California to Florida, in 4.5 hours. It's amazing. And when I got there, I could look at the problems, or I could look at the gifts. We are at choice all the time. Look for the miracle. I absolutely recommend you look for the miracle in any situation. We're always at choice. It is a wonderful world. It is a wonderful world. It is an awful world. It's the same world. It's the same world. What are you going to look at? You know, Ernest Holmes said this in Help for Today. He said, regardless of how dark and difficult a situation appears to be to you, you must choose an opposite idea and know that there is a solution. Know that there is an answer. Without even knowing what that answer is, you just have to know that there is an answer. He goes on to say this, if you believe you are truly one with God and God's wisdom and God's strength and God's healing and God's inspiration, then it is immediately available to us. We can do this. And he goes on to say, but simply choosing an affirmative idea that all is well is not sufficient. You must feel and know that all is well. This goes back to just saying, you know, saying our affirmations. You know, God is all there is and I am one with God. God is all there is and I am one with God. God is all there is and I am one with God. But in the back of your mind, you're going, oh, God. You know, it's just not gonna work. You have to have that. You have to have that. What did he say? You must feel and know that all is well. He says, before your prayer is uttered, you must be able to declare affirmatively and with feeling, my problem is now solved. And I would even recommend you go one step beyond that and not even acknowledge the problem being solved. That's like sort of taking extra steps to avoid losing your luggage. How about you just don't lose your luggage to begin with, you know? I mean, it's like instead of thinking problem solving, we turn to problem-free thinking. Problem-free thinking. Simply choosing an affirmative idea that all is well is not sufficient, Ernest Holmes said. We must feel and we must know all is well. So it goes from the head down to the heart. That's that visceral thing. It's a visceral thing. All is well, I know it. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I know that it is going to work out. Because how is the domain of spirit, is it not? How is the domain of spirit? So this wonderful world that we know is ours, it begins within us. It begins inside. I must choose the most positive interpretation of any situation that I find myself. I must choose. It is incumbent upon me to choose the most positive interpretation of a situation in which I find myself. I cannot afford to think problem solving. We must begin to think problem free, because what that does is it takes our attention off of the problem, which really doesn't exist anyway, it's just a condition, right? Stand still long enough, what happens? The conditions change. This too shall pass. That's what we know about conditions. They never stay the same. They're always shifting, they're always changing, they're always moving. So we take our attention off of the problem, which we know is changing anyway, and we place our attention upon the infinite possibilities that we are surrounded with. We resonate in the infinite possibilities that are surrounding us. We put ourselves in the energy of that infinite possibility. And we get to decide from among all of those possibilities a way a situation can resolve itself. A way a situation can resolve itself. And then we see what happens, right? Because spirit will have its way with us. We know this. We know this. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. The self chooses. We have chosen nothing, and this is why we receive nothing. When we begin to wake up and desire something, we shall find it is right there all along. This is what we do. Not only is there an activity of mind and spirit ready, but it is surging forward with tremendous power. That's an incredible statement. The universe is just, you know, dying to give. The universe is just surging forward with tremendous power. And so how powerful are we that we can stop that? Isn't that interesting? How powerful are we that we can stop that? We can be our own roadblock if we choose. Our wonderful world is a world of our own making. Life is a grand and glorious adventure, and we are in the middle of it. Anne Frank said this. She said, our very lives are fashioned by choice. First, we make choices, then our choices make us. That is just really what we do. That is what New Thought is really all about, making our choices. Choosing to stay on the positive interpretation of things, looking at how well things can work out. Let's make a wonderful world. Let's make a wonderful world, and we make it choice by choice by choice by choice. And that's what we immerse ourselves in. That's what we surround ourselves in. That is what the energy is around us. That is the only thing that the universe can reflect back to us. So you're ready to make a wonderful world? are we already making a wonderful world? Yes. Absolutely. 20 minutes a day, right? That's what we said. 15 minutes of positive reading. 15 minutes. Break open a book, any book. It doesn't matter. Emerson's essays, Ernest Holmes' Science of Mind textbook, Thomas Troward's, if you like reading with no punctuation, Thomas Troward's, the Edinburgh lectures, anything, new thoughts. Oh, Eckhart Tolle, whatever. Wayne Dyer, Deepak Chopra, something that is inspiring. 15 minutes a day, and then what? Affirmations, because the mental work then has to be grounded in the feelings and the emotions. And then what? The most positive interpretation of a situation you can think of in the moment. There are infinite possibilities in the world. So we think of the most positive interpretation we can. Oh my God, what else can go right? That's what we're saying. Oh my God, what else can go right? That's a wonderful world. And then what happens? Does that ensure you from nothing bad ever happening to you? No. But what happens when something unexpected does happen? We put the best spin on it we can, right? I don't even like to use that word. Interpretation. We put the best interpretation on it. We resonate. We absolutely immerse ourselves in the sea of all possibilities. So whatever it is, whatever that unforeseen event is, whatever that unfortunate occurrence might have been, we know that there are infinite possibilities out there. We know that there are infinite possibilities in here. And from there, we resonate in that. Instead of the, oh my God, what am I going to do? It's like, oh yay, I get to. I get to make my wonderful world. And when we do that within, we resonate around us. When it resonates around us, what happens when people come into our orbit? They feel it too. And it changes their world. And then they go home and then they start changing the world around them. And they change the world around the people that come into their orbit. And that is how we change the world. That is how we create a world that works for everyone. One consciousness at a time. And I know we can do this. I know we are doing this right now. So you with me? All right. You're committed 20 minutes a day? MDR. Minimum daily requirements. I will let you do more than 20 minutes a day. I absolutely will let you do more. But minimum daily requirements, 15 minutes of reading, 5 minutes of affirmations, change your world, rock your world. Absolutely. Thank you so much.